For the last 8 years, over the course of the Obama administration, the Tongass National Forest has been trying to change course. From the two big mills in Sitka and Ketchikan that dominated the pulp era of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, to something smaller, using far fewer resources and second-growth trees.
My name is Chandler O'Connell, and I'm the Sitka Sustainable Communities Catalyst at the Sitka Conservation Society.
The what? The catalyst?
Indeed.
And the transition to second-growth in the Tongass has cachet, with talented millennials like Chandler O'Connell building connections and markets, okay, catalyzing, new economies in second-growth spruce, hemlock, and cedar, and the once completely ignored alder. But it could be argued that we are at least 25 years behind the curve on this work. If O'Connell is the catalyst of the new Tongass, let me introduce you to the spark.
That spring we went out and just for about 6 weeks did nothing but 1 meter plots where we were measuring alders, and I found very nice-looking trees that were 30 inches in diameter and were probably less than 40 years old.
This is Mary Dalton, who was a forestry technician in the Tongass in 1992, working on the Northwest Baranof Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS. Dalton remembers studying alder in her coursework at Virginia Tech. Its beautiful grain and workability made it a significant commodity in the Pacific Northwest. But the Alaskan timber industry viewed alder differently.
People call these areas alder plantations, but it was a joke because it was just considered a damaged area with a lot of weeds on it.
Alder is the first thing to grow anywhere the soil has been damaged in the Tongass. In the 1990s, Dalton was working for forester Bill Dugan in areas like Fish Bay, which had been clear-cut around World War II by a method known as tractor logging. Basically, bulldozers would turn a salmon stream into a road and drag the huge spruce and hemlock logs down to the ocean.
And as a result, they came in alder because alder, red alder in particular, it loves disturbed soil.
Despite her southern roots, Dalton was in love with southeast Alaska. She arrived in the 1980s as a seasonal worker and in 1990 was put on a project to gather data for the Northwest Baranof timber sale, and that work changed her life. But first, a little backstory. 1993 was a pivotal year for Sitka. The Alaska Pulp Corporation abruptly shut down. 400 people were out of work in Sitka almost overnight. By 1995, U.S. Senator Frank Murkowski was trying to put together a plan to supply enough Tongass timber for a medium-density fiberboard plant in Sitka. Murkowski chaired the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, and he expected the Forest Service to deliver over 200 million board feet of wood a year to supply the plant. At a hearing in Sitka in August of that year, Forest Service tech Mary Dalton offered a different vision, one based on alder.
My emphasis for that hearing was we have no areas left where it's easy to get high-value timber. You have to pay highly for it or you will tear up your salmon industry. However, we do have a product here which we could start a sustainable future with, and that is red alder.
This was not what Murkowski or Dalton's bosses wanted to hear. Things didn't go too well after that.
And that was pretty inflammatory, I guess, in the culture.
It was a joke to them.
A joke?
Yeah. It's like if you hadn't been out there and seen that 30-inch beautiful alder, then you might not think there was any future in red alder at that time.
Dalton wanted to make the case that alder, which grows in bamboo-like thickets, if not thinned, just needed some management. She had personally seen marketable trees, but she was just a tech and lacked advanced degrees. And there was another problem.
I don't think women had an easy time in the Forest Service back then, to tell you the truth.
Lacking a specialty isn't necessarily a bad thing in biology. Dalton also did research on plant communities for the EIS. When the document was finally published, however, she felt it omitted much of the data her planning team had collected, data which would not have supported the volume of timber Murkowski was pressing the Forest Service to deliver. In May of 1996, Dalton filed a formal appeal of the EIS, which earned her a 30-day suspension from the Sitka District. Shortly after that, she was surplused and transferred to the Coronado National Forest, which is in Arizona on the border with Mexico. Dalton knew at the time that registering her objections to the Forest Service's timber planning was biting the hand that feeds you.
But at the same time, if you see something particularly that has your name all over it and you know it's not right, I felt I had to do something.
Dalton joined other Forest Service whistleblowers in a lawsuit, and in 1998, her suspension was removed from her record. A lot has changed since then. The agency now also allows staff to appeal planning documents. Dalton is retired, working part-time as a fire observer in Washington, where she was pretty sure that this call from a reporter was an elaborate prank by Forest Service buddies. But as the Sitka Ranger District embraces the alder industry, now seemed like just as good a time as any to end her 21-year silence.
Like I say, it all worked out. Nobody was hurt or killed.
All right, nobody hurt or killed.
Not in this case. Oh. Living the dream, son.
Indeed I am. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.